6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust. This is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary
cap. Welcome to another episode
Chris,
of the C4
Matt,
Canucks
Anna,
Hockey
and
Podcast,
Adam.
Brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris at LightForce, joined virtually by Anna Forsyth at A4003. I'd like to have something witty to start off the show with, but I am in such a brain fog right now.
Yeah, you're doing fine. Like, honestly, pretty impressed with you standing upright. Well, sitting upright. So yeah. I don't think anyone's in sort of completely 100% right now. It's like we're in a cold snap. It's February. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's miserable. It's snowing. But yeah, I have a slight cold. You have a full-blown cough, I guess.
Cold, cough, flu, not sure. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's the spicy cough at this point. But
oh God.
The we weren't here last week. We had an episode off because the holiday being family day, and to celebrate the family day weekend, my daughter brought home some sickness. So she was actually home all week because she was sick. Like, we were responsible parents. We kept her here, kept her germs with us. And my daughter, being the loving, you know, kind, sharing kid she is, made sure both mommy and daddy picked up the bug. So I am alive, as is my wife. But we're in two different sort of disparate states of disrepair. And I think I've talked about it on the show before, but our daughter is 100%. She's back at it. She is full of beans. She's full of stink. And my wife and I don't think combined have enough.
That, yeah, that'll energy. Happen, right? Because kids just love bringing home stuff from daycare or school, and it'll always take a couple days for you to get that. So yeah, it's kind of bound to happen. And unless you live in a mansion where you can sequester yourself off and, like, leave one parent to deal with it, or have a nanny or something like that, yeah, you know, it's inevitable that it's going to run the household.
Yeah, well, even if you were to sequester yourself off, you know, we can't let the 5-year-old fend for herself.
Honestly, right? Like, I'm not suggesting you do, but if anyone can handle it, Barry could.
No, she probably could. You're right.
You know, like feeding the animals, taking care of herself, I bet.
Oh, she does. She actually does a really good job feeding the animals when given the opportunity. I mean, a lot of the stuff isn't accessible to her, but she is very capable of doing it and thinking of, you know, constructive ways to get herself up higher. Therein lay a problem, because sometimes she tries and doesn't quite understand the limits as to her reach and what have you, but she you know, critically thinks things through. Speaking of you know, things beyond the reach, the Vancouver Canucks seemingly have yet to fully comprehend how one gets improved draft odds. I mean, the time that we've been away, they've been inconsistent. Kuzmenko, loved the kid, but boy, oh boy, this kid continues to score goals that win games and get the Canucks points. Like, you know, I love the kid. Love him to death. I love his infectiousness. You know, just give this kid some Coca-Cola, a banana, a map to the rink. I mean.
Yeah, he's just so excitable. It's so hard to get mad at him. But you're just like, literally every force is trying to help the Canucks tank, like external force. You know, Canucks literally traded away defensemen before puck drop, so they lost. They were down a defenseman. The Toronto War Room were trying to pull back that goal on him, but yeah, he cannot be kept down. Neither can Petey, and that's kind of unfortunate, even though you do want them that way eventually.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, if you're thinking, oh, well, Chris seems to think the Canucks are doing well. No, no, not at all. I mean, they
better than they should be.
Yeah, exactly, right? They've gotten a win against the Blues in overtime. They got a win against the Stars in overtime. They got a shootout loss against the Predators. There's their points. Everything else has been bad. So, you know, not the end of the world. But no, I mean, the Vancouver Canucks are sort of, you know, doing what they can to make it appear as if the message has been heard. The team needs to be rebuilt because there's also been some adjustments, not the adjustments that I think most would have thought may have occurred. Luke Shen, as we're recording, is still a Vancouver Canuck.
Yeah.
Yet he has been shut down for the better part of like 2 weeks for trade-related reasons. And, you know, I don't think his son or daughter has been born yet.
I don't know you, so I feel like we would have heard about it, so...
Yeah, so I mean, there's the pending arrival of a child. So I mean, I get, you know, why you would, you know, give him that opportunity and at the same time don't risk him getting hurt, because if there's something that we have seen with the Vancouver Canucks, players get hurt. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we got a whole lot to talk about, seeing as we haven't had an episode for 2 weeks and so little time to do it in before I just fall over and pass out. So let's. Let's look back the last couple of weeks. You know, the birthday week, the Vancouver Canucks, you could say gave me the gift of a loss.
Yeah, that was nice of them.
Right. And then they went and lost again against the Flyers, and made sure to do so in stellar fashion. I'm not, you know, happy they're losing the way they are losing. But hey, you know, this season's a write-off, so who cares, right?
Yeah. I mean, so your birthday was the 15th, correct?
It was the 15th, yeah.
So, yeah, they literally, New York, they lost New York on your birthday. And then just 3 days later, they were like, decided to show off against Philly. So, very, like, bizarre. Like, just overall... Just with the teams that they have lost against, it's kind of amazing that they're just finding this fight. But then it's not, because it's the players you think it is. It's Pettersson just being that really smart, best all-round player that he is. Like, I don't know, if Demko didn't come back, he could have played goal, I think.
Yeah. And I, you know, need to sort of... make sure people understand when I said they lost against the Flyers, it's they lost because they won.
Yes.
And they won 6-2.
I understood what you meant.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you lose by winning and you lose by losing. It's loss. But yeah, you're the effort that we saw against the Rangers and any effort we see against the Flyers makes absolutely no sense, as you had said. Game against the Predators, arguably, this game... I mean, I don't want to discount the fact that the Vancouver Canucks did what they needed to do to get back into this one, courtesy of Andrei Kuzmenko in the, you know, last 15 seconds of the third period.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, St. Louis, Vancouver Canucks. This is okay. I was on the post game with Clay. He invited me on, you know, one of the 30 live stream YouTube things he has. It was the Steve Dangle Podcast Network. Anyhow, and you know, he had asked me, and as some of the listeners, I was like, "Oh, you know, are you happy that the Vancouver Canucks won?" And this is the game that I'm conflicted in, because I love watching Binnington lose.
Oh yeah, I do love like. Binnington being upset is just one of the like greatest sights in hockey. I agree with that, but like, and I know what you mean, like it's in like, I didn't want them to win, but I will take joy from Binnington's frustration.
Yeah, and you look at that, the way that game played out, the Vancouver Canucks were just, they were out of it until the third period. At which point they decided they wanted to get back into it. JT Miller scores a shorthanded goal assisted by Petey on, I got to give Miller credit. He had that puck on the way, like within a millisecond of it being near his stick. And despite Binnington cheating over to the Miller shot, or, you know, expecting the pass, mattered very little. And, oh, guess who scored in the final minute of the game to tie it up and send it to overtime? Andre Kuzmenko.
Mm-hmm.
And then Petey decided he wanted to end in OT. So there, you know, you got 2 points. And again, that's the thing. If they're going to have to get wins, I know they will at some point. That's the team you beat. You get the win there. Yeah,
obviously, I would have preferred they against.
Oh, I know. Give points.
Yes, them beating the Bruins. And honestly, like, it was much closer than I thought it was going to be. Like, I expected Canucks to get, like, I thought it was going to be one of those brutal, you know, 5-1 minimum defeats. But Boston, like, considering how dominant they've been this season, only, like, a couple of their players looked that sort of level. I was surprised. I think, honestly, if Canucks had taken those, like, chances they had on special teams, if they had got a bit more favorable luck in the officiating, like, honestly, it would have been could have been a tight game. It was, yeah, as I say, much closer than I thought it was going to be. So, from that
point. Well, I mean, the Bruins did play the Kraken, you know, previous to the Canucks game, and that game was wild.
Yeah, it's probably like they just completely spent at that point, which is fair. And, even in the dominant season they're having, they can't be like. Sometimes you got to win in a sort of half-assed way. And, that top line was still very good. C. Loves was remarkably impressive, I have to say. And given the lineup that was happening, yeah. Don't let that goalie goal fool you. It actually was not... that a dominant win. I think the goalies are just crazy and they will try anything.
Well, and I mean, that was brought up during the broadcast too. Like, you're up 2-1 and, you know, there is some risk there that you ice the puck. And the way Vancouver has played the previous two games, is this, you know, extra opportunity you want to give them to potentially tie it up? Obviously, that's not what happened. Ulmark got the first goal in, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years or whatever it is.
Goaltender. I don't find it as exciting. I think I'm too British or something. And just, like, the idea of him trying that was, like, felt like in bad taste or something. Maybe it's the Bruins. Honestly, I just wasn't as impressed as everyone else. But
And I can't say I follow the Bruins, why would I? And Ullmark, I don't know much about. But is that something he has attempted before in other games? Or was this there's this thing where we look at Boston, is that they trying to prove a point to Vancouver because it was game 27 of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I very much doubt that was the case. And goalies are not, like, I don't want to say, like, let's discount Tim Thomas because he was a whole other... Like, he was way off the base, but, like, in general, goalies are weird. I think the Boston goalie situation is really interesting because it's not, like completely, they've had to depend a lot on the backups, just because of injuries over the last 2 years, and they do seem to have a really great relationship, the two goalies, so I think I'm putting it up to weird goalie. But someone who watches the Bruins more can tell us if that's a thing they have tried before. I would say it's bold. It was bold, but in that circumstance.
I mean, when you're as good as the Bruins are right now, you can try stuff like this.
True. Like, right?
I mean,
really,
they're playing with a whole lot of mojo that no other team in the league currently possesses. I mean, the fact that it remains. It's been 2 weeks since we last talked about them, and they still do not have double-digit losses.
Yeah. Like, honestly, they're having an insane season, and it's really interesting to see what will happen in the postseason, because, like, I don't think we've seen this dominant season in a long time. maybe that Tampa season when they got bounced in the first round, that was the closest, I think. Canucks were great in 2011. Were they that dominant? Probably not, but they were definitely the best team. When they won the President's Trophy the next year, they were not the best team in the league. I think everyone was kind of surprised that actually happened. So yeah, it will be super interesting what happens in the playoffs if this dominance continues or we just like have a Tampa moment.
Yeah. And that brings us to the game that we just finished watching. The Vancouver Canucks went on a quick road trip down to Dallas. One game.
Yeah.
Before they come home for a couple more.
External forces, the NHL scheduling, also trying to help Canucks tank.
Right. Like, so, you know, on the road. So since we last recorded, they had two more games at home. Then it went on the road for two. They came home for one, on the road for one. And then after we record here, they're then home for a stretch.
Yeah.
They don't go back on the road until the middle of March. The game tonight was weird. It felt to me like Dallas was the team that was trying hardest, yet maybe because Thatcher Demko made a return. Did you believe that he would start the first game he dressed?
That didn't shock me because just because of the backwards and forwards nature, I think they weren't going to pull him off IR till he was actually fully ready because of the setbacks they've already had. So I think that was more a case that he might have been ready to go the weekend, but they didn't want to take that risk until he felt really ready.
But like,
also give Seelovs the job. Sorry.
Sure, no, but they talked about it during Hockey Night in Canada and how, you know, you don't dress a goaltender who's not ready to go on the ice.
Right.
And so the belief was that, okay, there's no sense in rushing Thatcher back, but we'll probably see him go on the road. He'll dress as a backup and then they'll get in. So to see him start on the road in Dallas, I think that to me was surprising. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was backup. But to see him start, that's what sort of, I'm like, oh,
but that means to me that he was probably good to back up at the weekend. Yeah. But, huge. I'm sure it was a boost for this very inexperienced defense to know that they have a very experienced goaltender behind them rather than the Artie Party, who has been pretty impressive considering, but he's no Thatcher Demko. Morale boost-wise, in actuality, like, the amount of high-danger chances that defense gave up was... I don't have the number, so I would like to check it, but like it was considerable, and Thatcher Demko stepped up.
Certainly did. So Vancouver got themselves two goal leads in this game, but as we know, no lead in Vancouver is safe. Dallas was able to tie it up early in the third period, and then early in overtime. Andre Kuzmenko scores a goal. Dallas is headed down the tunnel. NHL head office, situation room, buzzes over to the rink and says, no, we need to look at this together. And this is something that, again, I've noticed more and more. I mean, they talked about it on the broadcast tonight. The process that it takes to review these calls seems ludicrous. Like, I'm maybe less concerned where it's this is the game over moment. Okay, maybe you take a little bit longer there, but if the call is made by the situation room, why does it have to take so long to then discuss with the linesman? Like, if the call's not, you know, if it's not the linesman on the ice who ultimately make the decision, it's instead Toronto.
It does seem to be, like, if you can't tell within 2 minutes, then there's no reason to overturn. And I think, Canucks got on the wrong end of some challenges in the game in St. Louis. I do think that should apply across the board, and yeah, like, I don't think I'm being biased in that perspective. It would have been much better for us if they had overturned it. But I do think, yeah, especially when it's mid-game, like, you make the challenge. If you can tell in 2 minutes that it should be overturned, great, do it. But otherwise, no.
Like, I mean, a comparable for me is what we see with VAR,
you know, yeah, exactly,
soccer or football. With VAR, you know, there's the time that generally gets consumed is when the referee is the one who has to go and watch, you know, 30 different angles.
That's the same thing. That's clear and obvious error. It's not really that anymore, but that's the idea behind it.
Right. Whereas, like, the offsides, and this is where I understand where people are like, well, wait a minute, like, an offside where you're using technology to draw, like, you know, lines based on physics and all that, you know, okay, maybe that's too extreme, but at least you've taken out, like, it's quick.
Yeah.
Punch the data in, boom, offside, not offside. I mean, rugby with review.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty quick. And I feel like that slowdown part takes away from the game and the experience.
So. I totally agree. Just a quick off the rails based on that. I've been watching. So I got home near the very beginning of the second period, but I didn't tune in right away because I was watching the cricket because it was a hugely, hugely exciting end to a 5-day game. New Zealand ended up winning by one run, so it was very close. But what really amused me is that I've been watching the US feed. It's like a New Zealand broadcast, but broadcast on a US channel. And they kept just cutting away during reviews. Like, they were clearly like, usually if you're watching that on British TV on New Zealand TV, you would be watching the whole thing. You're waiting for the umpires to make their decision. You're seeing all the replays. But no, the American channel was like, this is probably time for another Geico commercial.
Yeah, yeah. Aflac. Yeah. Oh, so anyhow, Vancouver Canucks, they win. Kuzmenko, love the kid. Gets himself a goal. Beauvillier had a night. 3 points, 2 goals, 1 assist. Really liking Beauvillier filling in quite nicely in that sort of Pettersson, Kuzmenko, Beauvillier line.
Right. I mean, that was like, he's a top six player. He's not going to be that sort of middle six, like, flashing out either. He works or he doesn't. He seems to work. So.
But the other note, actually, worth mentioning is that JT Miller, he was not on the road trip to Dallas. When word came out that he wasn't making the trip, people are like, oh my goodness, he's being traded. He's week to week, which when the Vancouver Canucks come out and say someone is week to week, I'm presuming he might not be back this season.
Yeah. I mean, considering what there is 5 weeks left in the season.
Yeah. Like, week to week does not sort of like give itself to, oh, he'll be back next week. Yes. I know that that is open to interpretation.
But literally,
but to me, like, that's more day to day.
The NHL, like, I think anything under 3 weeks could be day to day for NHL teams to tell media. So if it's week to week, you know, like, you're thinking over a month here.
Yeah.
But yes, so not to be traded. You
know, no. Well, I mean, and you know, for those who are like, you know, there's still a possibility he could be traded. Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
I said this when I was with Clay, but the more I think about it, the more I think if you were going to trade JT Miller, it's not a deadline deal. It's an end of season deal. It's an end of season before that contract kicks in.
Yeah. And it, what interests me is that it took a whole afternoon, it seems, to get an answer on whether you can retain salary on just an extension. Or before that extension kicks in, and it turns out, no, you can't. It has to apply to both. So, again, I think that makes it more likely that it's an off-season deal, if anything.
Yeah. I would not want to retain money on a JT Miller. I mean, that's
but how like else? That's we're getting rid of him.
No, I know, but, like, because now you're paying him to go play somewhere else for 8 years.
Yeah.
Ugh. anyhow, messy that situation is. That's not to suggest, though, that the Vancouver Canucks have not been active in the trade market. The first deal that went down since we last recorded was one with the New York Rangers. The Vancouver Canucks acquired Vitali Krasov in exchange for William Lockwood and a seventh round pick in 2026, which I don't know about that particular draft year, but seems to me not to be a pick I would be too worried about.
Yeah. I mean, it's not quite air, but it's not much more than that. Yeah. And William Lockwood, yeah, he's done way better than expected, especially considering his huge injury that he had just after being drafted. But yeah, Krasov is definitely an upgrade, definitely more potential, and he's young, so like,
well, and this is again going back to the, you know, the previous deal that we were talking about. How do you evaluate whether it's good or not? There are a lot of Rangers fans dissatisfied with this deal.
Yeah.
Which then leads me to believe, maybe the Canucks are onto something. Now, I don't know enough about Krasov, but I do know, like, William Lockwood, I wish it would have worked out. He was at one point, you know, considered a top prospect here in Vancouver. Injuries, unfortunately, really set him back. And arguably, you might suggest the opportunity was never really presented to him to grab onto, whether or not he was entitled to that opportunity. Again, very much debatable.
Yeah.
But these types of deals, these are not deals that I would be at all agitated about. Like the old regime, they would have been, that 2026 seventh round would have been like a second round pick.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm pretty happy with that. I think, I hope Will Lockwood succeeds, because if you've watched Abbotsford Canucks over the last few years, he's been a really entertaining player to watch. He's, and at times, like, especially when maybe the likes of Klimovic wasn't performing, when some of the better players were called up in the pre-podcasts in Höglander in Abbotsford Times, like, he was like a class above. So I do think he has NHL player in him. I do think he is an NHL player. And it would be great to see him get a regular spot in a few years' time.
Yeah. The deal that was announced today was that the Vancouver Canucks picked up the phone, talked to Buffalo a little bit, and sent Riley Stillman on his way out east in exchange for Josh Bloom. And this deal has me wondering, Riley Stillman was worth that much?
Yeah.
Like, again, young kid, he's still in the, like, OHL.
Yeah, he's 19, but like, and never heard of him. But, like, he seems to be, one, a good skater, which I think is huge, especially as, you know, the newest acquisition, Ratu, does have some troubles there. But, yeah, he's young. He's 19. Riley Stillman was a dead weight, you know? Haven't enjoyed him playing. All he's been doing is taking up a roster spot, and sorry, Riley, peace be with you. But yeah, 5 years he has on Josh Bloom. So yeah. I kind of think you know what you're seeing already with him. Like,
yeah. Well, Canucks Reddit had Riley Stillman as tank commander.
Yeah.
Right, like Myers was tank lieutenant and what have you. So they were bidding him a fond farewell. But, you know, the other piece of the puzzle here was that Riley Stillman was tying up 1.35 on your cap. That doesn't seem like a whole lot of money, but he was at that price point next year too. So the Vancouver Canucks, in making this deal, did free up additional cap space. This is something that they've started to be smart about. You then have J-Pad on Twitter saying it's to free up space for Kane, which, oh my goodness. But talk about stirring the pot.
Yeah, that's definitely a stirring moment. But, like, considering how much we complained when Canucks had to acquire Riley Stillman in order to get rid of Jason Dickinson. Yeah, that's a good result. Yeah. That in less than a season, he's already gone and traded for a younger model.
Yeah. So maybe Patrick Allvin is got some skills in the kitchen that we weren't too aware of. I mean, again, I'm presuming it's him, but who knows? Maybe it's Trader Jim that's pulling all the strings and actually, you know, sticking to his word of not being in front of the camera to tell us all about it like he used to be. But trade deadline is only a handful of days away. As to what else happens, I don't know. I mean, I think Elliot today had said that he doesn't think JT gets traded.
I think it's pretty unlikely.
Was it Dhaliwal that had said something along the lines that it is now sounds like Besser and Shen could be going to Calgary?
Right, yeah. I did wonder what happened to the Besser to Minnesota deal. I don't know if that's gone anywhere. Maybe they'll just have him walk down the hallway on Thursday. But yeah, Shen, I'd be curious what happens because surely he's such a valuable pickup as a rental, but like obviously the two big players in Toronto and Boston no longer require his services. So yeah, I still expect him to go. Shen, maybe not Besser. Like Besser might be another revisit in the offseason kind of thing, but yeah.
Anywho, as we know, time will tell. When we record our episode next week, maybe the Vancouver Canucks will have made a big splash. Maybe they will not have done anything whatsoever, which, you know, as a Canucks fan, we're very much used to. But one thing that you and I are going to do is take a short break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Is that because he was mad?
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Seeing as we're ending Rewind off talking about, you know, Canucks trades, let's talk about, you know, what the rest of the league has been up to. Because, you know, there are some crazy deals going down right now, you know? I wouldn't necessarily say crazy, but when you got, like, you know, 20 first-round picks just being bandied about, which, again, hyperbole and all, it's crazy.
Well, you're not far off. Yeah. Like, we've had some wild trades. Like, obviously, the Jeannot trade stands out. Like, who knows? He was worth that much, and what a Tampa up to.
Well, so, I mean, for those of our listeners who don't know, you know, Tanner Jeannot, he has a contract of $800,000, which, you know, would be indicative of a young kid, maybe got some upside. Well, Tanner Jeannot was acquired for Calfoot, a 2023 third, fourth and fifth round pick, 2024 second round, and a conditional 2025 first round pick. The condition is that it's a top 10 protected. I don't know if that means that it then becomes like a 26 or something. Like that's the part that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was not clear.
Because it's the last one in the. Yeah, I don't know. That may be something that shakes out in time, but like, what a haul.
Like that's a crazy deal. I mean, I can't say I know enough about Tanner Jeannot outside of the fact that kid's making bank.
Scored on Canucks based on that, I will say, but I don't know if that's indicative of his wider performance. Yeah, like honestly, because it's Tampa. Like, I guess they know what they're doing, but like. maybe they're thinking they have one more run left in them. Who needs those pesky picks? But yeah, we'll have to see in the offseason if it pays off. But yeah, it's funny that it's like two of the bigger players at the deadline are like Toronto and Tampa, and it's like, do you see them both having runs or?
Yeah. You know, if we go back a little bit further, we had a three-way deal between the Bruins, the Wild, and the Capitals. Ultimately, the Capitals found themselves acquiring a whole lot of picks. And they also got themselves Craig Smith to the tune of 3.1 on the cap.
Yeah.
But, you know, for Boston, Boston got themselves Garnett Hathaway, the signing rights to Andrei Svetlakov, and Dmitry Orlov, where his contract was half retained. Minnesota, they got themselves Dmitry Orlov's retention from Washington. So this is
yeah.
So Minnesota essentially said, yeah, we'll take some cap. Thank you. And yeah. Then Boston takes the player in return for a pick.
Canucks said they'd be like willing to be one of those like facilitators, but nothing has come off so far. I will say one of the trades that intrigued me obviously was the long-awaited Timo Meier trade. That kind of we knew it had gone down, but like no one knew what the return was at all. But like it did make me think, is there a limit to like the number of players and picks you can trade? Probably not, eh? Like, I just wonder if you traded like five players, are you allowed to do that? I guess you are.
I think so. Like, I don't think there would be any limit. Like, really, the only thing that you need to do, as far as an organization is concerned, is ensure at no point in time do you exceed the salary cap. Like, they can't in a consummation of multiple trades, they can't exceed the cap any point throughout.
Yeah.
So, you know, how things are passed through. Which is why, like, a three-way deal.
You have a limit of contracts.
Yeah. And then, yeah, contracts being the other one. So cap and contracts. Beyond that, you know, have at it.
Like,
so,
if you want to swap rosters with someone else, go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, the Sharks and Devils pretty much, you know, did as much as that. And they threw, like, a metric ton of conditions on the deal. So, like, I mean, the San Jose Sharks have a conditional first round, a conditional second round. And then the conditions are like, oh, if it's one of these, it's one of those, then it's this, it's that. And it's if it's this, but if it's that, like it's, you know, crazy on. But I mean, for the Devils, as you said, Timo Meier gets to hang out there. Oh, Maple Leafs, Blackhawks, they decided to get a deal done, which, you know, possibly takes the Leafs out of play-ish to the bigger deals.
Yeah. It's interesting though, eh? Like Chicago obviously shedding right now, might be shedding a very big contract in the next couple of days, we'll see. But like the amount of willing participants, that's what I find funny, I guess. That's just like, oh yeah, we'll take you guys are doing so well this season, we'll take couple of your players. I'm sure they'll turn it around.
Yep. So, speaking of the Blackhawks have two first-round picks in 2023, 2024, 2025.
Yeah.
They've got three second-round picks in 23, two in 24, one in 25. They got two third-round picks in 23 and 24. Like, this is a team that's in full rebuild mode. And guess what? They might have some pretty serious odds for Connor Bedard.
Yeah. Yeah. In contrast, I think, was it someone saying about Tampa just having, like, two picks in the draft coming up or something? I don't know. But I'm always amused by how that shakes out. But yeah, Chicago are really, I don't want to praise the Chicago organization and say they're doing a process right, given their history, but yes, that is what you want to do. build up those picks.
Yeah, Tampa has three picks in 23. One in the sixth round and two in the seventh.
There you go.
they don't have the earliest pick is a second round pick in 25 right now. They've been trading them away. And you know, if your window is open, right?
Yeah.
And your team is ready to win, this is what you do. I mean, this is what the Vancouver Canucks did.
Right, you know, like
back in the day.
They won two cups in a row. Like, they have some players that maybe won't be good to go in another couple of years. So yeah, like, fair play. Like, is Stamkos going to be like good in a 3 years' time? Maybe not Stanley Cup good.
Well, but he's also off the books in 3 years' time. So if he's not good,
yeah, exactly. But like,
you've got 8.5 to play with.
Exactly. But you have Steven Stamkos now, and you have this elite player now. You have Vasilevsky now. Like, I don't know how. Like, I know goalies are voodoo and they age differently, but he's been around a long time, hasn't he?
What, Vasilevsky?
Yeah.
Well, he's 28. And he's signed through to 28.
Yeah. Okay. He looks even younger. Wow. Voodoo.
Well, they are voodoo. Back up Brian Elliott. I mean, he's 37, so.
Yeah, Brian Elliott. I mean, there are some players that I'm like, not in a rude way, don't really know how you're still around. You're just like, oh, you're still here. Okay.
Hey, you know, it's a Bob Essence was, you know, the best backup. And he, I think, was like 36, 37 when he was with the Canucks. So
speaking of people still being around, it's just ridiculous to me that Shea Weber's contract just got traded.
Like, okay. The Arizona Coyotes, they have Hall of Fame NHLers on the roster who will never skate a second of ice time.
Yeah, but sure, punish the Canucks for their, like, the long-go contract. They're the ones trying to spend the cap. Not Vegas, not Arizona. It's definitely Vancouver.
Yeah, I mean, it is so asinine that – you know, you can have all of these contracts associated to a team who acquires them for the sole purpose of ensuring that they're at the floor.
Yeah, honestly, to me, I'm just like, I feel like this is the kind of thing if you were like running a like small business, this is the kind of thing that gets you like put in jail for fraud, you know, like still paying people who aren't there anymore. And
yeah, it is. Like, there was a tweet I saw. I think it was actually Pronger who had actually, you know, retweeted it, you know, making light of the fact that there was someone else who's going to be, you know, joining his golf group or something like that. Like, I mean, the NHL doesn't care. I mean, I know I've said this before on the show. I don't feel that there's this big conspiracy to, you know, take the screws to the Vancouver Canucks. But I will agree that the league will go out of its way to be friendly to others, one of which is the Arizona Coyotes. Like, Gary Bettman has done everything in his power to ensure that the Coyotes exist. And if at some point in time the Coyotes need to retire a builder, Gary Bettman better be the first person to go up in the rafters there, okay? Yeah. I mean, I don't mean, like, put him in the rafters, but, you know, Ring of Honor with his picture or something like that, okay?
Yeah. Just bizarro. But, like, yeah, I'm in no illusions that the NHL wheel of justice, or whatever form that takes, whether it's player safety, whether it's officiating, whether it's the war room, or whether it's just, like, James getting away with stuff. It's more random than anything, and it's just incompetence.
Yeah, I found the tweet. It's Chris Pronger. He's tweeting out the tweet that was talking about Shea Weber's cap hit joining the famous Coyotes Legend Society, and he's like, excited for our new acquisition to join our golf tee times. Asinine. Anywho, Do you think this deadline is going to be a big one?
I mean, if Patrick Kane gets traded, sure. Like, that's kind of inevitable, really, isn't it? Like, even if it's somewhat of an anticlimax, it's been anticipated for so long. But yeah.
Well, like, in itself, I mean, one deal to me, that is nice to make a big deadline. More in my mind is there's many deals. And I can understand how there's one deal can be like the domino that causes many of the other pieces to start to fall.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a feeling it's not going to be as active as past.
No. What I mean to say is it's one, it'll definitely be a big story, like Patrick Kane leaving the Blackhawks, leaving. Mm-hmm. Shall I say Mick's legacy and leave it at that?
Yes, Mick's legacy. I mean, guy's known to nickel and dime, so.
Yeah.
Anywho, again, we'll be back in a week's time to talk all about what the rest of the league has been doing, along with what the Vancouver Canucks have been doing. But as we look to wrap up the show, something that we had forgotten to talk about 2 weeks ago was the launch of the C4 Book Club, which, you know, we talked about. We got some early indication from you, our listeners, that you wanted to have this happen.
Yeah.
And then it sort of, you know, fell to the wayside. But yeah, Anna, did you want to talk to it a bit?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't thought too much about it, but more what I want to say is we'd love to get input from the listeners as to what form you want this to take. I love it to be something interactive where we can just get together and discuss the books. And we do know that we are starting with Aaron Volpatti's book. Like, that is a decision that we've made, and I think a few of our listeners have read it, so that's exciting. But yeah, like, maybe come at us on Discord and give us some input, what form this can take, because it would be cool for it to be an open discussion. I don't want it to just be me talking into a mic about what I thought of the book. It would be great to get some input. It would be cool if it's like getting together and having a discussion, maybe on Discord, maybe on a voice channel. But you know, if that is impossible with all the time zones that we're dealing with, maybe we'll just have a book club channel. But yeah, maybe that's what you guys would prefer. So please let me know if that's what you want. And we'll put a deadline for those of you who haven't managed to read the book. And that'll be our first book. And we'll take polls. Maybe we'll rotate who gets to choose the next book.
Sounds like a plan. So you heard Anna. Talk to us in Discord. Give us some suggestions. What type of format do you want this to look or take? And from there, we'll look to make it happen. As she said, she doesn't want to be the only one talking into the void about the book. We should be collaborative. And I, you know, don't want to also mention to you, you can't see that she was looking at me with daggers. So.
No. I was not actually, but.
Yeah. No, you can't take it back. I saw okay. It. Yeah. Listeners, you can trust me. Anna picks on me all the time. Mm. Speaking of picking on old people, the Clay Who tweet, I was talking to him, obviously, and he's like, was that Anna? I'm like, yeah. Am I the one who goes and says Clay Who? Like,
also, to me, I was just like, yeah, I'm just like, that was a very neutral tweet to me. That's just his name, Clay Who. Like,
yeah.
It's funny to me that you took offense, but
yeah. Well, I mean, and for longtime listeners of the podcast, that's podcast meta right there. That is something that goes back to the days of you and Clay never being together, because
yeah, and so he started it in a way. Like, yeah. We literally met in London before I was ever on the podcast, even as a guest. We met in London, and then I moved to Vancouver and he spent the rest of the time avoiding me. So, yeah,
well, so rude. Yeah, Clay person. He started it. Such a negative Nelly. He,
yeah.
Can be, you know, but here we are at the end of a show. couple final notes. You obviously know where to listen to us because you're listening right now. But if you happen not to yet subscribe to us, we publish episodes each and every week, except for those weeks where there happens to be a holiday and we take much needed rest and respite. If you want to support our show, help keep the lights on, for instance, you can do so financially by supporting the show through Buy Me a Coffee, or the easiest way to get there is to go to support.c4podcast.com. And you can choose to either support us on a recurring basis monthly or just buy us a couple of pints and throw some money as a one-time donation or gift our way. The Buy Me a Coffee, I really wish we could sort of rebrand it to like Buy Me a Pint.
Yeah, because, it's us.
Yeah, but not that I have anything against coffee.
I know, that's my main fuel, but.
Yeah, coffee gets me going. The pint makes the day, all that nice at the end, or, sometimes, halfway through. But, C4 Discord, discord.com/C4podcast, seeing as we referenced it earlier. And if anyone ever wants to leave us a voicemail, speakpipe.com/C4podcast, you can drop us a note there. And as we've always said, we will play your voice on our show. Advertise your own podcast. I'm surprised that, Faber or Quads haven't just recorded something. Bowman or Stanch haven't done that because, we have promised that if it gets said on the on the voicemail, we will include it. So
even those who are dead to us.
Yeah. But any final words of wisdom there, Anna?
I'm just going to take a moment to give us both a pat on the back. Because throughout this episode, Chris has had coughing fits. I've literally been wiping my nose on my shirt because I don't have any tissues. So we are not running at 100% here, you guys, but we battled through for you. So,
No kidding.
Yeah. Hope you're enjoying.
Yeah.
And sorry about that image.
Yeah. I mean, my coughing fits are probably, more appropriately visualized than.
Yeah,
what sorry, Anna's Mom. My, using her shirt for
my manners, but desperate times.
Hey, I get it. I completely understand. The final words for me: wash your hands, because trust me,
germs
are everywhere. And wash your shirt, just in case. It's all those things that we learn growing up not to do that we still do as adults today. Yeah. But on behalf of Anna, A4Size0, through myself, Chris Adlight, for signing off this episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com, with We Out.